as if I would guess. I try never to pay attention to what you're doing in the private chat.
We have a new show format. Today we're going to welcome to the Backpack.
You're just going to text? You're just going to watch you text?
I'm just going to do Braille. I was just going to do, ASL, Braille.
So there was one time that you were like, hey, who wants to come and watch me write a blog post? And people turned up for that. And I was
40 some odd live people
came out. I was like, really?
A blog post.
Grr.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I do have a little bit of news before we start the show. But, you know, who's coming on today?
Well, we have the founder of the Pack Up and Go Surprise Travel Agency, Lillian Rapson. I've used their service. It's so fun. You fill out a survey and explain kind of the things you're interested in and how you like to travel and morning person, night person, that kind of stuff. And they send you somewhere and you don't know where it's going to be. They just tell you a few days before, like what weather you have to pack.
Can it be somewhere crappy? Like, are they going to send it to somewhere?
No.
Like, okay.
I mean, you might think,
I guess we should ask her the question.
Well, yeah, we'll tell you all about it. But it's really cool. Surprise travel, such a cool concept. Tried it. Love it. And we're going to talk with Daniel from the Escape Game. I am an Escape Game like fanatic. We've done.
Yeah,
all of
you
them.
Are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are.
I'm not the most valuable player. So,
like, you know what's great?
I shake
about
books to see if things fall out of them. I don't like
having
out
Daniel on the show patterns. Is great because he's always going to be in the same room because he hasn't gotten out yet. So, that's what it's doing. So we got a show today. And we have some really interesting news right after this.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz, welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
Boom Shakalaka. Fun and games. Bob's here for it.
Bob just got one of his vaccine shots. Where? Say it out loud, Bob Collins.
Well, how can he say it out loud?
He's going to do it. Rainy Austin, Texas. It was rainy as heck here in Boston yesterday. Welcome to the weather report of the Backpack Show. Hey, Leslie.
Houston, too. We do this every time.
Yeah.
It's going to be 73 here in Nashville today.
Weather crept in. So my parents are here. So listen, we yesterday accidentally joined the future. It's part Carrie's fault. Because she was the Trojan horse door that they used to get into the scenario. Oh, so there's look where Bob got his shot. Bob got his shot at Gillette Stadium, the home of the New England Patriots, right where Tom Brady has thrown his last ball. Bob Collins went and got a needle jabbed into his arm, just like Tom Brady.
Congratulations.
Pretty freaking cool. Hey, so yesterday, against all odds, like that really awful Phil Collins song, we joined the land of cryptocurrency. There's a company called Rally, rally.io, rally.io, that has a cryptocurrency for the Backpack Show. BKPK is the currency. Yesterday it was worth $2.05 or something like that. Today it's already down to $1.80 something because it's cryptocurrency. It goes up and
you're
down.
Depreciating.
Yes, I'm finding myself very depreciating. No, actually, it's because it turns out all kinds of speculator robots come and buy and sell your coins super, super fast, and it triggers other actions for people as well. So the price won't really steady itself out for some amount of time. Wow. However, there are things you can do built into this coin. If you go to rally.io and set up an account, you can just buy some coin because we're going to show you how it works. It's kind of like an economy of its own tied to other cryptocurrencies like the Rally token and sort of further down the road tied to the Ethereum.
But you get rewards just for holding coins. I didn't know that. Like I clicked in tab yesterday and I had rewards in there. Like I got more coin just for holding the coins I had. I was
right.
Like, oh.
So my friend Joe Polizzi just shared $30,000 in 1 week with the people who bought his coins. So $30,000 he split amongst coin holders. So this is all new to us. It just happened yesterday. But if you look at the screen that I'm showing you right now, there's also a sponsorship option where you can sponsor a week of the Backpack Show. Author Len Joy has done that twice already with us and just kind of PayPal'd me some loot. But now you can go through the extra five steps of buying Rally Coin.
It's not five steps. It's really easy.
Yeah, you get an account. You put some money in it, you send the coins to me or whatever. So but if
you get
buy
a discount doing it this way.
Yeah, but if you buy and hold the coins, because here's the other interesting part of the storyline, I'm not saying send them to me, I'm saying just buy and hold them, so you get to keep the value, but I act as if you gave me the value. You see the difference? You get it twice. So you could sponsor a week, you could sponsor an episode, or for just 10 whole US dollars you can swing by backstage.
That is ridiculously fun, by the way. I think it every time. They're like, this is the show, man. Like, the before and after. Get up to no good.
That's the deal. I rather let's get into some pack and go because I feel Chris weird must being have a,
driven it off the lot.
I feel a little weird being the old cryptocurrency baron, but it's interesting. The economy part of it's interesting to us. The idea that, you know, like I said, you buy the coin, so your real U.S. dollars go into this weird playground space. Then you hold those coins, so you retain the value that you invested, and then people in my economy do things because you have the coins or whatever.
Yes, Elizabeth, you can share liberally.
Yes.
So I'll tell you my favorite part about this whole story, and then we're going to bring Lillian out to talk about surprise travel. My favorite part is where they're like, oh, you know, it's really cool, this new coin thing. It's like amazing. You can do all this stuff with it. I'm like, yeah, cool. Can I get a creator coin? And they're like, do you think Chris would want one? I was like, ah, you used me.
Yeah, they did not give Carrie a coin.
I did not ask for one. I'm fine with backpack.
I am the last of the marketing turd head level people who will get coins, and then they're opening up to celebrities next week, so we'll be left in the dust because
the marketing turd head category is closing. Listen, yeah. This is a business success show. We bring you insights about success from unusual places,
but so never marketing turd heads if we can help it. So let's grab it from Lillian. Ready? Boop. Hi, Lillian. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Such a jam. Carrie, this is your pal. I didn't know you were a user of this product. Why don't you talk a little bit about it?
Oh my gosh. So I love surprises. And I never considered, one of the things about traveling that's kind of a drag is like figuring out the right places to go. Some people love that part. I don't love that part so much. And I'm almost always disappointed because I make a big plan and stuff doesn't go right. So along comes Pack Up and Go, surprise travel, where you don't even know where you're going until like the day of, pretty much, or the day before if you cheat and open the envelope or whatever. So they just tell you like what kind of weather to pack for a few days before, and it's totally cool. They plan everything for you. You get these like itineraries really detailed about stuff that aligns with your interests based on the survey that you fill out. So I loved it. We went to Philadelphia, and I'm such a nerd. We went through every historic site. We toured a prison, like an old, like a kind of a ruin of a prison that you saw in Shawshank Redemption, some other movies. But it's like you just saw the nerd in me based on my survey, Lillian, and customized a trip just for me.
I'm so glad you liked it. And Carrie, what you didn't mention is that you actually had sort of an added layer to your trip where you were traveling with a friend who lived in a totally different state. So, you know, especially if you and she were planning your own vacation, that's such an annoying thing to coordinate because you want to pick a destination that you can both get to. You want to land around the same time, depart around the same time. So yeah, it's easy just to hand that off to a travel agency.
You did amazing because I actually traveled quite a lot, like before the apocalypse. And so it's like, hey, where have you been lately? I had like six cities listed. So there's like six cities already off your list of possible places.
And that list is pretty intense. I was looking through some of the places you've already gone for destinations, and it's not trivial. You've kind of already done a lot of these businesses.
Not me, but
that's Lillian. I mean, your account looking where you've been.
Lillian, the Pack Up and Go has its roots in Latvia, right? You were in Latvia when you had the idea.
It's true. Yeah, I am currently based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but I had been traveling around Eastern Europe when I decided to start the company. It turns out that surprise travel already existed in Europe, and I first heard about it when I was in Riga, Latvia, and I had just quit my job, had just left New York, had no idea what I wanted to do with my life, and heard about it, researched, and saw that it didn't exist in the States, and I thought, cool. That sounds like something I would like to do. And I had no idea how to be a travel agent, but here
we go. Did you eat some of that crazy ass garlicky pumpernickel bread that they make you eat in Riga?
I don't think I did. I guess I have to go back.
I guess you got to go back. I went to Riga for about a day and three quarters. And one thing I noted was that every building seemed to be painted the same yellow, which was kind of post-Soviet kind of feeling. It was very strange, but
yeah.
From Riga to Pittsburgh and back, did they learn about Yingling? Did you do an exchange program and give them some Yingling beers?
No.
Okay. So why hadn't surprise travel already made its way to the US, do you think? Are we just like such control freaks?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I think that, you know, in Europe, it's so easy to travel around. You know, the train system is amazing. There are so many low-cost carriers. It's easy just to, you drive 3 hours and you're in a different country most of the time. So I think there's a really strong culture around taking short weekend trips or just going to explore places for a few days. Whereas I think, especially at the time in the States, Americans typically thought of vacation as traveling overseas. Now, obviously, with the pandemic, people are a lot more likely to take short local or, you know, domestic vacations. But I think at the time, Americans just weren't as interested in taking short domestic trips. I know I was guilty of that. Like, why had I been to Riga, Latvia, but not Charleston, South Carolina? It makes no sense. It just hadn't occurred to me. So.
But that's at least like you're thinking about the places in the U.S. you haven't gone. Mm-hmm. So surprise travel is like, I don't know, just send me somewhere where I can do these things that I like doing. I mean, it's a pretty detailed survey. Like, are you a morning person? Your night person? Do you like the nightlife? Do you go to bed early? Like, it's all in there.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. Like, the itineraries you put together were perfect.
I'm so glad to hear that. And I think that Philly is a perfect example of it, where not a ton of people are thinking to go to Philadelphia for a long weekend trip, especially as someone from Pittsburgh, I feel comfortable saying that. But it's such a great city. And when I think you stayed pretty close to Rittenhouse Square, and it's super walkable to everything, and there's amazing history and museums, and it's a great city. And so, you know, I'm really interested in how can we encourage people to go to places that they wouldn't think to visit on their own.
I feel like we should have gotten like an eject option, though, because the Eagles had just won the Super Bowl. We're like, they were from Massachusetts originally.
Oh, you're saying versus us.
I'm sure that's no problem.
Forget it. Yeah, they were pretty smug.
But. Well, let me ask you a question about that. And this is a very biased question. I don't like Philadelphia. I've been to Pittsburgh 9 times. I've been to Philly twice. I hated it both mm-hmm. times. Now, I went on behalf of Comcast, so there's already a strike. And I also was more or less, I had to go into the places I had to go versus when I had my free time, I was just kind of like an idiot floating around in the hotel, you know, lobby wondering where I might go. Mm-hmm. What makes one of these trips super cool? Like, brag on yourself for a minute. What do you do and go find that makes someone find Philadelphia through your eye and says nice things about it the way Carrie ostensibly just did?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of the whole point of Pack Up and Go, right? Like, we're asking our travelers, and it's a really self-selecting traveler who is signing up for this vacation saying, I know that every city has something cool to offer, and it's a short trip. Our trips are on average 2 or 3 nights. So you're not using all of your vacation days on it. And so we do a ton of research to find, you know, hotels in great locations, to find the best restaurants and sightseeing things. And we're matching it to your interests. So, you know, Carrie told us that they love history and that they want to, you know, learn about things like that. And so we tailored her itinerary to have a lot of Philly's unique history. So Eastern State Penitentiary, which she mentioned, and sprinkling in restaurant recommendations that are, you know, walkable to those attractions and sort of curating it for you. So you're not just landing in the middle of nowhere, staying in a weird random part of town and left to figure it out. You know, we're doing a lot of research for these trips.
Yeah, it's very detailed and you have several to choose from. So it's not like, it's not regimented. Like, on this day, you're going to do this. On that day, you're going to do that. It's like, here's a very rich, detailed itinerary for if you decide you want to explore this part of the city. And you just pull it out when you decide today is the day for that part of the city. And it was great. And it wasn't like, it wasn't like fancy restaurants or anything, because, you know, we're not like fancy people, which I think was in the survey. So it was like, hey, this is a great sandwich shop. This is a great ice cream place, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it was amazing. I recommend it. I love it. I love surprises, though. Some people might be super like uptight about it. So what about the people who have some anxiety? Like,
honestly, it's so much fun to plan trips for people who say, like, I'm super type A. I always love to plan things. I think it's a good exercise for them because it's sort of a controlled surprise, right? Like, you know that you're staying within the US, you know you're going to be able to, you know, use the currency if there's an emergency, you know what numbers to call. And you know that, like, we have 24-hour customer service. So if something happens, we're here. And so we do get a lot of people who say, I'm trying this out to see if I can relinquish control, or, you know, I want a vacation and I always plan for my family enough. Like, I want to enjoy it and just hang out too.
It's amazing, actually. And I was looking at some things that I don't think I ever would have. I don't think I would have discovered them on my own. Like, you would have to be scrolling through TripAdvisor or something for a pretty long time to find something that might be, you know, along your lines of interest. This was just like, hey, we know who you are and what you like. Here's a bunch of things. So I could have picked any itinerary on any day and it would have been dynamite. Because we're both like, rise early in the morning and go look at a bunch of nerdy stuff. That's what we like to do. So it was perfect.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, not one nightclub recommendation in the mix, which was great because none of us wanted to do that. But you know, if that if you're into that, you fill out the survey, say you super like the nightlife, you like to boogie, and they'll hook you up.
Exactly.
Troll in the house. Oh, Chip is here.
God bless him.
I want to know, Carol, in the community, would you take a surprise trip?
That's a great question. We're just asking her the question instead, Lily.
Because she's like very organized and on top of things. Would you take a surprise trip? Because my friend that I went with is like a, she's one of those trip people that likes to have everything planned down and everything. But she did it and she loved it because it was planned, just not by her.
I'm worried. I'm worried because I'm pretty introverted. So I'm thinking, you know, how do I kind of push my little, there's like a pulse and flow for me. Like I need a couple hours at a place and then I got to go hide. And I got a couple hours at a place, I got to go hide. Is there a way to do that?
Yeah. I mean, like Carrie mentioned, we're not planning out every minute of every day of your trip. So our itineraries are more suggestions. And so we'll say, you know, from your hotel, you can go here, eat here, do this after, but you have space to explore. Or if you just want to hang out in your hotel for the afternoon or sit in a park and do nothing, you can do that too. You know, we're not trying to micromanage your vacation because ultimately, because we're an e-commerce business, we've never met you in person. So sometimes the way that people describe what they like to do is a little bit different than what they actually like to do. So we want to make sure that you have room to make it your own. And also if you find a neighborhood, like if you had stumbled upon something that you wanted to explore on your own, we want you to have the flexibility to go and find those little hidden gems as well.
So you don't have to do anything. You could just stay in your room the whole time and not leave. Yeah. But I mean, that would suck and be boring. But you could do it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to.
If you wanted room service for every meal, you're more than welcome to do that.
But it's also, so the itineraries are very detailed in as much as it's not a list of things and times and tickets and stuff. There were tickets for a couple hard to get places because otherwise it'd be hard to get them when you got there. But everything else was like, hey, while you're there, you might want to check out this thing or go eat here. It was like very soft and descriptive. So you knew what you're in for. So you know if you want to sit it out or not, I guess. That's what I'm saying.
We give you a jumping off point.
Oh my gosh, Chip, I misread that. I thought you said my parents planned my surprise trips for me. And I was like, that checks out.
Chip's parents planned the trip. I definitely would for a girl trip, not sure about a family trip.
You know what? You could do either because you can describe in the survey that you're bringing your family with you, the kids, their ages, their likes, dislikes.
Lillian, I have an idea. This might make you a lot of money. Can you make a surprise trip where I go one place and everyone else goes somewhere else? That would
in your family?
Yeah. Can you imagine? See
ya. Like, whoops, then, silly pack up and go. They sent Chris to Bora Bora and everybody else is in Orlando.
That's right.
We'll take the blame for that one.
How do you choose the cities for this? Like some are pretty, like some cities are tourist destinations. Everybody has expectations about them. But the places it seems like you specialize in are places people maybe haven't thought to go explore.
Yeah. It's sort of our secret sauce, how we pick our destinations. We have a team of travel planners in-house. So we're, you know, it's not an algorithm. We're not, you know, just punching into numbers and spits out a trip. I like to say it's half matchmaking, half logic puzzle. So, you know, if you tell us, okay, I'm from Nashville and my friend is from Portland, Maine, and we like history, great food, you know, we want to do a ton of activities all the time, then one of our travel planners will read that survey and we'll look at your previous trips you've taken where you travel frequently for, you know, work or for family. And so we'll take that all into consideration and have a couple of destinations in mind for you. And then we have to see, like, are there flights available on your dates? Does it fit in your budget? Does it work with your time restrictions? So then it becomes sort of a logic puzzle. And if there is a big sporting event or a conference happening and there's no hotels available, then we'll say, okay, great. What other destination do we think matches this person's interests? And so we tailor it from there. So it's not super high tech, but it is a fun personal experience.
So it's art and science. My friend was such a nightmare too. She was like, let's see what flights are leaving within that window. I was like, will you stop it? Surprised.
You know, that's something too, is I'm murdery about, you know, people who are fussy during travel. You learn a lot about someone when you travel with them. Mm-hmm. So maybe this is kind of another useful way to do this. You know, is that you you learn a lot by having how did they react to all the things. I like the cat goes, yeah, that's totally perfect for me. I let someone else plan my trip. I'm into it.
Yeah. Okay. It's seriously, it's so much fun. Because you don't miss anything that's in line with your interests. Like, you have the option, it's all laid out for you and it all makes sense. You might have three places you want to visit and they're all in different parts of the city, and you would make a mess of your itinerary if you'd be exhausted from all the stuff. This organizes it like by neighborhood. It's so good.
It's I was also just thinking about I get anxiety about, you know, what if I planned it and what if it's crap? Mm-hmm. You know, I can give that to you.
Yeah, we take blame. You know, especially, I know you mentioned family trips. It's great if your kids aren't happy with it, or if you're, you know, planning a trip for a group of friends. It's our fault. It's not your fault. Just kidding. but you know, you can tell us like exactly if you're planning a trip for a family, especially if you say like our kids love zoos and aquariums, then like we'll find you a destination that has a zoo and aquarium to make that happen for you.
And I was not paid to say any of these good things, by the way. I just really loved it.
I misread Kat's, enthusiasm about the thing. She said, no, it's good that you'd go to one place, we'd go to the other. She's my ex-wife and the mother of my children. So ostensibly, you know, she and the kids would go one place, I'd go somewhere else. It could work. Lillian, we have to wrap it up with you. We have to bring you backstage, but stick around. Don't we have away. Other questions. We do a little panel near the end before. So, cool. Thank you.
Seriously,
so much
go get your trip. Go get it.
Get it.
It's ridiculously fun. It really is. It's so exciting if you can coordinate. My friend and I don't live in the same place, as she mentioned. So we're opening the envelopes like on FaceTime to figure out where we're going.
Very fun. I like that. Listen, if you want to do a trip like that, you could probably start your podcast on the road. It'd be a cool traveling podcast hosted on castos.com for the smell of it. You could have a really good old time with that. Hey, want to do a video interview show like this or just whatever kind of video show? Use StreamYard. Whack. cbrogan.me/StreamYard.
That's Carrie, it. Go get
you
it.
Know your thing.
Bring your own surprise travel agency founder.
Sit up. Okay. All right. You want a .online domain? You can get one for $1. You can get it for cbrogan.me/online. Chris, all caps, $1 for the first year anyway. And then who knows? Of the money.
I don't know.
It's like $5. Or, I don't know.
So I remember, you're going to laugh at me. I remember looking at like weddings.com when domain names were first a thing and being like, $100 a year. F that. And I'm like, damn it.
I only own a couple domains like that now. I own a couple domains that may or may not be worth something. All of them with the .boston domain. And yeah. So anyway. Hey.
A lot of people don't want their parents planning their trips, apparently. Or their siblings. Oh my God, I would never let my sister plan a trip for me.
No. Her next trip is back to the panel at the end. So listen, I have a question, Carrie. Are you a fan of getting locked in places and then having to find your way back out?
It's my kink.
Are you a kind of person who likes to read weird clues and decide whether or not you can actually find your way out? Or do you cheat and look for the scuff marks on the ground?
I don't cheat, but I am not the person that cracks the code. Or I'm good with like literary references and riddles and things like that. But if you're talking about like puzzle codes and math and stuff, that is not my strong suit. I more go, hey, there's a key in this pocket. Or, hey, there's a button over here. I don't know what it does. And then my son, who is in Mensa, figures it out.
Crazy.
That's what I specialize in. But I like to win. And therefore, I very much enjoy the escape game experience because escaping is winning.
So we have Daniel from the escape game. The only reason we have him is because he couldn't find his way out of that room. So we have a way to interview him. So
does he have a last name, or is Daniel from the escape game?
I don't know, dude. Look, he's like Cher. If you look,
should call him Mr. Oh yeah, you're right.
Daniel, the escape game.
Yep.
Hi, so Daniel.
Is there a Mrs. the escape game, Daniel?
That's right. That's
or a Mr.
Or Mr.
Yeah, or Mr.
We always have fun. I love trying to describe the escape game, and we always say more fun than it sounds, right? Because it is one of those things where it's like, yeah, we're going to lock you in a room and, you know, do some math to get out.
You know what? A surprise trip to Philadelphia doesn't sound like that much fun, but boy, is it. And I'm so serious.
Yeah. And while you're there, enjoy our location at the King of Prussia Mall.
Totally.
Oh my gosh. That's impressive. How many escape games are there? Because you'd pointed out you'd rather kind of promote the larger brand. I didn't. I thought it was just you.
We have 20 locations across the U.S. and 17 different markets now. We just opened our second location in Houston just a couple weeks ago. We have a few more locations coming this year. So it's been really exciting growth for us, honestly. And then the other great thing is through the pandemic, we created what's called Remote Adventures, where now you can play our full escape game experience through a Zoom call, which if you're skeptical of that, I was too. When we first had the idea, I remember like, it was just this crazy time. We can get into it more if you guys want to, but you know, all our locations are shutting down. We go to basically, you know, the revenue that we had to $0, like overnight, right? When everything happened, the NBA shuts down and then everything's shut down, right? And we're like, geez, what are we gonna do? And so start kind of coming up with ideas, and we do a couple little things, and we're like, well, let's figure out how people can play this over Zoom. Zoom's like a big thing now. And as we started developing that, I remember specifically like being in a meeting and just saying, dude, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. I'm the guy who, like Carrie was saying, I'm not the guy who solves all the puzzles, but I'm what we call the spotter. Like, I love getting in the room. I love the immersion of it. It feels to me like you're on this Hollywood movie set and I'm getting to explore and find different things. I'm like, man, I'm going to lose that. I'm going to lose that. It just felt like the escape game minus immersion is just going to be like a worse product. But we developed some really cool technology, some really cool stuff. So you have like a custom dashboard, so you can access 3D scans of the room. You can you have like inventory items. You can see your time at all times. You can actually solve puzzles like right there in the dashboard. So
you wait for your son to do it.
Exactly. You can wait for somebody else to do it, wait for somebody else to jump onto them. So now anybody can play from wherever. And so we've had teams, like literally corporate groups, you know, that it's like, we've never really, I don't know how to escape Zoom yet. we're not in a world, we're not escaping Zoom anymore.
Kat says you get to be the guy at the desk with the computer, like in Spider-Man, telling the team what to do.
Right. Right. And so we had teams like with somebody who was, we had a team where a few of them were in California, a few of them were in Egypt, and a few of them were in Australia. And we have like a bunch of stories like that of family, friends, coworkers, just like getting to connect and playing our games, which is really, that's what we're about, you know?
It's so good to kind of fire up those neurons too, if you've been on lockdown for months and months and like just, you know, wondering where to order from for Uber Eats for, you know, that's all exactly. You got. Good to think again.
It's another thing to do, you know, it's another, I think, unique and fun just way to connect with each other. And like Chris was saying, you know, you learn a lot about somebody when traveling. You learn a ton about somebody when you're playing an escape game, man. Different personalities come out.
That's so I've been sitting here bubbling up with energy because first off, I'm crap at math. So the minute you said that, I'm like, all right, well, whatever. Put some laser tag in there and I'm back. But you know. but I was also thinking about, so Chip said, I'm a really sore winner. You know what I mean? He's one of those, you know, in your face kind
of
guys.
But you all win or lose together. It's not like one member of your family loses just because they didn't contribute a lot.
Well, you're in the same room as the person who won, maybe. You know.
Fire up.
Whatever. Up. I will take the victory because I'm on the list of participants.
That's right. You get to be together as a team. Everybody gets their chance to kind of be the hero, to save the day. There's a bunch of different stuff to do. And actually, there's not like actual math. We joke that there's math because that's a lot of escape rooms have done that, and that's kind of how they started, you know.
Daniel, you don't even know. There was one time it was like we had to take the number of trees or something depicted on like the walls of this kindergarten classroom and divide them by some other thing. We miscounted those friggin' trees like three times. So you ever ask a kid to count the number of trees depicted on the wall? They're like, is that a tree? I don't know. Sure. Well, and so finally they're like, look, it's 20.
All right, I gotta get macro again. Why this business? And boy, didn't it seem so much smarter until like March 2020.
Man, yeah. I think it was really interesting. Our founders of the company, Johnny and James, their brothers, and then their friend Mark, took a trip over to Europe, right? And kind of saw escape rooms over there and thought like, man, we can make this for the American market. Could we leave someone in the room as an option? That's an add-on, premium experience, babysitting. And they saw kind of what was happening over there and thought, man, we can bring this to the American market and make
that's
them
both of you and Lillian both.
That's what I was just thinking. Exactly. What is it? We just all go to Europe to find our ideas now?
Yes. Yeah, and just make them a little different, man. I mean, it was a little more like math heavy, like some of those, especially in Asia, because they started doing them all over the world. It's like you go into a room and literally sit down and like do math and like solve puzzles. And it's like, fix these, you know, before you can get out. And we were able to, you know, provide a narrative and like make it more story driven, which is what I really enjoy about them. Cause I started as just honestly a fan of the escape game, just doing it with my friends and everything. And so that's why, I mean, we have a mission statement that everybody in the company knows, like everyone can repeat it to you by heart. It's not something that like lives on the website, to design and deliver epic interactive experiences for every single guest. And that's the why. That's the why. Like, we want to bring families together. We want everybody from like the 12-year-old birthday party to, you know, grandma's coming in with family, to corporate teams coming together and like just having fun with each other, man. It really is a cool experience that you find yourself talking about a lot kind of after the fact, right? So we just want to connect people, quite honestly.
Chip wants to know, are they a fad or the future? And how do you make it have staying power as a business? I mean, it's got staying power. People are looking for fun things to do.
It's got staying power for sure. I mean, here's the thing. One, you have to evolve and keep getting better as a company. I think that's with anything, right? But we just celebrated our 7th birthday, you know? So I think that's, I mean, there's staying power there. We continue to grow year over year. So I think just the thing of it being a fad, like there's always going to be a place for out-of-home entertainment. And how do we make it have staying power is like, we care about the guest. That's our number one thing, is just, we try to be a guest centric company, take care and have the most like epic hospitality possible.
There have been changes though. Like, I saw all the experiences now are private. It used to be kind of like by the numbers, if there's three of you and then we get four from some other group, and like some of the groups that kind of suck, let's be honest, or, you know, they have other issues. Some of them are ringers. This is like their 25th in this week and they're super serious and they kind of wreck it for everybody. So have you found that it being private has had benefits, like other benefits than?
Kind of pros and cons. You know, it's just, it's different. It's the like, economics of the business really changed with COVID too, because obviously we can't have mixed groups, you know, until it's like safe and right to do so. So we had to, you know, we pivoted to all private experiences where before, yeah, it was shared. So if we have an 8-person game and a team of four books into the game, another team of four could book into that same game. And while, yes, we did, you know, definitely there are some examples of experiences where people were like, I didn't really like, you know, playing with those people.
I'm from Boston. I just don't like people.
There are also we've had of people who are like, man, we're like lifelong friends. Like, they play again together, you know, because it was like, dude, this was awesome. So, you know, the experience can kind of go both ways, but we, went to all private, because of COVID. And so that was definitely a big change for us.
See, we were like, woohoo, because the first time I ever played, it was me and the same friend actually that came with me on my surprise trip to Philadelphia. We did an escape game together for something to do. I forget what city that was, but it wasn't Philadelphia. But anyhow, she and I went in and there was a group of guys that were like super serious about it. And so they were kind of stiff arming us, like they didn't want us looking at anything and or touching things because we might like disrupt the pattern. I was like, are you kidding me?
That's odd. I mean, it happens sometimes, you know, but.
Hey, nerds are my people. Like, I was okay with nerds, but aggressive nerds is a whole other category.
Aggressive nerds.
I have a different question. It is very, I was walking through accessibility in my head. I was like, a hearing impaired person, they're going to do fine. Person in a wheelchair, they're fine. Sensitive people, autism often has sensitivity issues.
Yeah.
It's fine because it's not a jump out and scare people kind of thing. It's not super loud or anything either, which is why my hands are here, because I'm doing the noise thing in my head. but it also, my question is, are visually impaired people, like say two blind uncles, are they going to have a trouble making their way through an escape game, or do they have a role they can still play?
Yeah, I mean, we have a saying, epic for everyone, where we try to have very, very accessible games that are approachable. And we've had stories in store when I talk about, you know, guest-centric company, like we take that very, very seriously, where I remember one story, a family of, I think it was 4 or 5 people came in, and one of the children was visually impaired, right? So the game that they were playing in, the first clue is actually auditory. You can't, it's a puzzle that you have to solve and you have to do, the team has to do something, but you can only hear what you have to do. There's something like going over the speaker, right? And so the game guide kind of hints at the child who was visually impaired and was like, hey, listen for that first puzzle, you know? And so they got the chance to contribute to that. While the team is playing the game, our game guide goes behind the scenes, goes into the last room, because you're not just in one room, right? You go through two or three, maybe four different sets while you're in the game, depending on the game that you're in. So they go into the last room and they swap out the last clue so it reads in Braille. And so the visually impaired child was the only one in the group that knew how to read Braille, comes up, is able to read it, and they get the chance to kind of like be the hero. And it's like, I did it. I solved the last clue. I got us out of there. They feel like a winner. So there's definitely examples like that that are special and like really important moments that I think, you know, make our company great. But then on the other end of it, of just like the everyday experience too, like, you know, there's a million different things to do in a game, a million different things to touch and to feel and to work with and to put locks and mess with things. So there's something for everybody in the game. It really is. If you're not a puzzle person, there's still something for you. If you are, then, you know, there's definitely something for you.
Well, right. And I have sort of one last question that we're going to grab Lillian and bring her back on, which is, I'm so not a puzzle guy. I'm a shooter guy. You know, I play all the any game that somebody can hurt another person with a weapon in a virtual space, I'm there. So there's a real question to that. The escape mechanics are one kind of gameplay. Are there thoughts to expand or even do, you know, pop-ups of other levels of things? I was thinking two different ways. I was thinking scary as hell, like Saw. And then I was thinking something like, you know, that had other physicality elements to it. Is that in the works or is that just not part of the model? Forget that, someone else can have that.
I mean, I don't think the scary like horror Saw thing, I don't see that ever being us. Like we just, again, it's kind of about accessibility, being approachable. Like there's already so many barriers to the escape game thing. Like we're talking about it. And, you know, I know that everybody's first thought is like, either I'm too dumb, I can't do it, you know, like, oh, that's not going to be that fun, like whatever. So there's already a lot of barriers like that. We don't want to put up more barriers for people where it's like, oh, it's going to be hard and it's going to be frightening and you're going to have to do really gross stuff. Like, and it's like horror driven, you know, we don't want to keep like layering that on. So I don't see us ever doing that. As far as doing different things, just in the world of out of home entertainment, that's the vision ultimately. Like, yeah, define and dominate the escape game industry, disrupt the world of entertainment. Like that's what we're coming for. And so out of home entertainment, whatever is in that space, one day, absolutely.
There's different types of games too. And so they have level of difficulty and you get a sense of, so you get a sense of kind of what you're in for. Cool. And if you're going with your little kids.
Exactly. And it's like mission-based, you know, it's not always you're just trying to escape. Like you might be trying to find treasure. You know, you might have an example where you're trying to take part in a heist, you know, or whatever. Like it, there's not always, oh, I'm just trying to get out of this thing, you know? So not all escape-based necessarily.
So do I get to like pour sand in a bag and do the Indiana Jones?
Oh yeah, for sure, dude. For sure. You like crawl through, you know, you might have monuments and
there is crawling stuff involved.
But yeah, there's definitely crawling. If you it's like totally crawling. Cool.
If you like crawling.
There's always an option. Like you don't have to. Like there's another way somebody who can crawl through can open a door or something. But if you like that stuff, you totally can.
All right. So I'm grabbing Lillian.
Bob was just asking, what's the theme room experience you'd love to build out No Hold Bars? Lillian can come in for this. She can hear this. It's okay.
Not doing it. Go ahead.
What was the question?
He wanted to know if No Holds Barred, what would you like to build?
Oh, dang. No Holds Barred.
Anti-grav. Duh.
I think there's a way that we could do, not necessarily scary, but like the like haunted thing. Think like Luigi's Mansion, like it's still fun and approachable, but there's like stuff happening in the room that's like a little spooky. And so I think if you had like unlimited budget, you could do that really, really cool. You could do it. Think like big scale in a mansion, wandering through that. That's really, really cool. But
I always wanted to get out of the car in the haunted mansion, the little car they put you in. I wanted to like go walk down the hall and check it out. My mom is like, no, Gary.
There you go.
That's they don't actually do the whole mansion.
All right, let me get me some Lillian.
Hello.
Both of you, which is you get to do really fun business, but that also means that somewhere, from Breath of the Wild, that would be crazy. You have kind of fun dream job sounding jobs, but you also could just technically be running like, you know, a batting cage and a travel agency. What made you go this way? How did this happen? Start with Lillian.
Well, I think it's hilarious that both these ideas came from from trips to Europe. I had no idea. I mean, honestly, when I heard about the idea of it, it was just a no-brainer. It was like, of course, this is what I'm going to do. You know, I had previously worked at companies where it was a really fun work environment, but I just wasn't super emotionally attached to the work I was doing. And I just thought, you know, if I have the option to do something that I love and I'm really, really excited about all the time, then why wouldn't I do that?
And it went over really big too, possibly mm-hmm. more than you even expected it to, I think.
Definitely more than I expected it to, yeah.
So Daniel, why not just run a batting cage?
Batting cages sound dope. I think that might be cool. I don't want to hate on the batting cage people, but I definitely, like I said, I started as a fan of the escape game, right? So I come from a marketing background where I was working in agencies. And when you're in an agency, you know, you're working on like 20, 30 clients at a time. And you might have this like restaurant from Arizona that you've never been to. And this other product that like you've met the owner and he's kind of a jerk. And like, people complain about this stuff all the time. Like you're selling stuff that's just not good. And at the end of the day, you feel kind of sleazy. You're like, bro, this is not the move. I don't enjoy this, you know? And I started coming to Nashville and playing the escape game. And like, I mean, I thought it was just like, oh, just this one location. Like, this is really cool. What a cool little thing. And then I saw the job posting. I'm like, man, they have 9 locations at the time, right? And I'm like, oh, this is, you know, this company, this would be so cool to be a part of. And so it's just taking that thing that you feel good about promoting and you feel good about being a part of. I think when you're at a company that, you know, aligns with your personal values, aligned with their values, like that's what feels really good, that you're like serving a mission that you believe in.
Not everyone thinks that they can do that. They feel like if they go and try to do something fun, they're much more in danger of not being able to pay the bills they need to pay. Do you mm-hmm. ever have those moments? I mean, last year, both of you mm-hmm. were in the toilet all of a sudden. You know, there's not a lot of travel and there's not a lot of coming to the escape game during the pandemic. So just a thought on that. When the chips were down, you know, how did you keep yourself on this mission?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it was a really interesting opportunity because we, you know, I started the company in 2016 and it just took off super quickly. So last March was the first time that we had ever not had travelers departing. There had not been a single day off for 4 years. And so as soon as we sort of got through canceling all of the trips that were already scheduled, we sat down as a team and said, okay, now what? You know, what are all of the wish list items that we've always been pushing off because we've just been too busy to get to them? So, you know, from the marketing side of things, we knew we wanted to redesign and revamp our itineraries. So we, you know, as a team dove into that project. We had a bunch of tech development that we wanted to do. So we dove into that project. And then it was really cool because it was the first time in 4 years that we had developed new products. So, you know, prior to COVID, we only had plane or train trips or road trips. And during COVID, we launched staycations where you can be a tourist in your hometown, which is really fun. And especially for folks who live, you know, maybe an hour or two outside of a big city and maybe come in for one event, they have a chance to spend a whole weekend there. So that's been really exciting. We launched outdoors trips where you can go to a more socially distant vacation and explore the outdoors, go glamping, stay in a cabin, things like that. And we also launched Pack Up and Go Picks, which is a standalone itinerary. So as Carrie mentioned, we put a lot of stock into the research that we do in our destinations. And so if you know that you have a wedding in Chicago or a work trip to Dallas and you want to tack on an extra day or two and you don't want to do the research for things to do there, or, you know, on your previous work trips with Comcast to Philadelphia, we could have helped you out with some curated recommendations for things to do. So it was, you know, a really hard year. I'm not going to sugarcoat that, but it was a cool opportunity for us to really think about what else Pack Up and Go could be beyond just our bread and butter from the past 4 years. So
you knew it would be back. But you both knew it would be back. It seems like you weren't like, well, hell, this is all done now. Like you both were like, okay, we have a little time. Now we can make some changes or updates.
Sorry, Daniel, I'll let you talk in a second. But we got super lucky that when the pandemic struck, we gave all of our travelers 2 options. We said, you know, we know things are really uncertain now. If you need to cancel your trip, that's fine. We get it. Or you can just postpone and put your trip on hold and have something to look forward to in the future. You don't have to choose a new date now. And And our number one core value is to hold the traveler experience above all else. And I think that, you know, that's where we really saw the fruit of that effort. And most people opted to postpone their trip, which really was, you know, a show of faith for us that our travelers also wanted this experience. And a lot of our repeat travelers said, no, I had a great time before. I know I will have a great trip in the future. I just don't know when it is. So so that was really encouraging and helped me remember, okay, this is temporary. I don't know how long it'll be, but people believe that our trips will come back. So that helped us as well.
Daniel?
I mean, there were moments of doubt. Like, I won't lie about that at all, for sure. I mean, when you go, like I said, zero locations, zero guests, nothing open at all. And you're asking yourself, what are we going to pivot to? What are we going to do? You know, that was hard, man. That was hard to look at 18 locations get shut down to nothing. 500 plus team members across the country having nothing to do on a given day. That was really hard. That was really, really hard. And I think we all kind of, as a company, again, turned to the mission. We're like, design and deliver epic interactive experiences. You know, like we have to find a way. And it started with we had this game called Unlocked. That's like you play at your own pace online. It's a different thing, but it was originally in a box and it was physical. And then we turned all those puzzles digital and just made it an all digital thing. And you start selling a couple of those and you're like, all right, maybe. And then the remote adventures idea happened. And I'm so grateful and so thankful to everybody in the company that was part of that, because the 5-year outlook of the Escape Game is totally different now. Mm-hmm. And so we had a moment where we were able to surprise ourselves and take a year that could have been tragic, could have been possibly the end of the company, could have been who knows what, right? And Remote Adventures now, by the numbers, on its own would be our most successful location. And it's changed everything. It's changed everything, right? So it's a great addition. And I guess it's just, yeah, the chips were down and you just have to, you have to ask yourself, what are you going to do? And I think when you're committed to your mission, you're committed to something, whatever that why, whatever that thing is for you, you figure it out and you find a way. But yeah, there were moments definitely I was like, I don't know how it's going to go. How are we ever going to be able to put people in a room again, touching stuff, you know, interacting with each other? It seemed impossible for a minute.
See you, Chip. The fact you made it through is, you know, I think it was, what was her name? She said, somehow I made it through the wilderness. Somehow she made it through. And there it was. So anyway.
Didn't know how lost she was.
Right. Luckily she found you. What the crap is her real name? I used to always think.
She's a Madonna quote in an interview. Is great.
Always,
you're asking
always
her
well
real
done.
Name?
Yeah, her real name. I forget it. Hang on a minute.
Does anyone even?
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
Her real first name is Madonna, but her middle name is Louise. Her last name is Ciccone. Or Ciccone.
You got a yellow card, says Kat.
For doing Madonna lyrics? No, I don't.
Maybe she's, for that particular.
She's fabulous. Madonna don't be lyric. A hater. So person of the day. We have to define person of the day.
Whoever Chris feels like giving it to.
Yes, it's me scrolling along here.
Based on a witty comment,
yeah,
a good
usually.
Contribution or question.
Bob Collins. He left.
Oh, Bob I think. Collins.
Bob
I
Collins
him.
Gets it again. Partly because he went to, you know, Gillette Stadium and had the New England Patriots throw a needle from the 34-yard line into his arm.
Oh, Kat says you deserve a yellow card for the delivery.
Oh. What, did I have to, like, pump it up a little more?
I don't know.
All right. We have one question we've asked every guest that's ever been on the show. What goes in your backpack? Now, this is something either physical or something metaphorical. I guess if I'm going to the escape game, I got to bring a calculator. If I guess
you're not allowed a calculator. That's cheating.
I'm never getting out. I'm going to practice my braille. So something physical or something metaphorical. Carrie, what's a good example of a physical thing you can put in a backpack?
Extra set of teeth.
An extra set of teeth. That's
DJ Cumberbund said extra set of teeth. How I don't know about, when you would need it, but if you needed it, you would really have it right need there. It.
And then what's something metaphorical we could take with us?
Kindness.
Oh, kindness. There's a story for that one. We'll tell you one day. All right. I'm going to start with Lillian. Lillian, what goes in the backpack for you?
A disposable camera.
Oh, do they make those still? Private they Ellie.
Do. They sure do. Yeah. I always have one with me.
They do. Not so convenient for Instagram, but really fun to see because you have to like wait to see what you got.
And then you lose it. You end up developing it like 3 years later.
So many years. It's the best part.
It's like a later.
All right. Yeah. I'm into it. Disposable camera. Fast too.
It's like a surprise all over again.
Daniel, who shares the same thing as Madonna, just the first name. Daniel, what goes in the backpack?
Water. What is more frustrating than being thirsty and having nothing to drink? I can't stand it. I'm not going to rely on other people to get me my water.
You got to be hydrated if you're going to do well in the escape game. That's true.
I'm going with sparkling water today, so I'm with you on that one.
And for anybody wondering about the mechanics and logistics, if you super have to pee, you can step out of the escape room and go pee.
It's not locked. Nothing's absolutely locked. The door is open at all times. Go. You're free. You're free to leave at any time.
You just don't win if you don't solve stuff by the end.
But you want to walk out, I guess. No, walk out.
Mm-hmm. I guess you can.
I mean, you could.
You could Kool-Aid guy the wall once.
I mean, it'd be super lame, but you could.
Right. Yeah. If you want to be lame, you could do it.
All right. Deanna doesn't think you deserved a yellow card.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you, Deanna. Catch you later.
Can we get more rules on the yellow card? What, like?
It's whenever Chris says something a tinge off.
Madonna's name?
It's supposed to be if I say something inappropriate. I don't think I said anything appropriate.
If he says anything a tinge off color.
I didn't flirt or thirst on either of you. I was reasonably polite. You know, I'm going to ask my grandmother.